I don't want to.
I got you.
An appropriate theme that we do usually at Thanksgiving time. This year we're going to talk about it and then we're going to participate at the same time. So let's start with Matthew 25 and 35. So glad for everyone that is here this morning. So glad that you made it. So glad that those that are online, just want to make sure that they know that we are praying for them. And we want to pray for Miss Elizabeth at the door. She's not feeling good, you guys. Let's really pray. There's been so much of that flu going around, but God is Lord over the flu. Amen. So we thank God for that. And so we pray for everyone that's at home, everyone that's even on the road. Miss Donita this morning, you want to say hello to her as she is watching. We love everyone that is watching this morning. Let's go to Matthew 25 and 35 in the Amplified Bible, and it says this. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you brought me together with yourselves, and welcomed and entertained and lodged me. In the Message Bible, it says, and here is why. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was homeless and you gave me a room. Then Matthew 25 and 37 says this. Then the just and upright will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and gave you food or thirsty and gave you something to drink? In the Message, it goes, then those sheep are going to say, Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? Going down to Matthew 25 and 40, and it says, and the king will reply to them, truly I tell you, insofar as you did it for one of the least in the estimation of men, Of these my brethren, you did it for me. In the Message Bible, it says, then the king will say, I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me. What a scripture. As I was reading those scriptures last night, things was just like really sticking out to me that about how the Lord is calling us to extend his love, that we are to be his arms, his feet, his hands, his heart. And as I was reading it, it was just each one, the Message Bible, you know, how we can stop at one place and I might give you some water and I might give you some food, but that room in my house, you know, as I was thinking about that, I was like, there are places that seem so much easier for us to go, that when you get to that other place, you have to pause a little bit and you're like, and we have these little stipulations and we have these places where we're thinking about, we kind of disqualify a lot of people in those areas, right? It might be my good Uncle Joe, but not my crazy Uncle Joe. It might be someone I've talked to for a while, but what about that stranger? We're talking about stranger. Stranger is somebody that I do not know. And as I was thinking about it, I always go back to the time where my it was Christmas, and there was a man that was walking down the street, and my mom had just bought my dad this beautiful coat for Christmas, and the man that was walking down the street, he didn't have a coat on or anything, and my dad went out. We didn't know him at all. And it's kind of funny when I think back. It's funny in a way in the beginning, but a beautiful thing that always reminds me, you know, of giving later. When we first, you know, we're all in the house, my dad's inviting this person in and my mom's just preparing and we don't know this man from Adam. And so our mind is kind of like, you know, who is he? Could he kill us all today? What's going on? Dad's let him in the house. We don't know anything about this man, but dad's just let him in the house. Dad's ready, prepared the food, everything. The man comes in, he's sitting, he's talking, you know, doing little stories with us, laughing. I mean, we kind of settled in that he wasn't stranger danger. He seemed pretty nice, you know. And so we was settled in with this nice guy, and he ate dinner with us. And the one thing about it was my mom had just bought my dad this. I'll never forget it. Was the coat that she got him. And my dad took the coat that my mom had got him out the box and gives it to this man. And so at the end of the, where it's time to go, it's snowing outside, snow everywhere, and it's time to go, and Daddy's telling him, where can I take you? Where do you live? Where can I go? And so Daddy's going back to get the coat, his old coat, out, you know, to put on. The man walks out the door, and Daddy's, you know, trying to get, you know, we're not really thinking, we're just thinking the man's going outside to wait for Dad. And so Dad puts, but then when Daddy gets out there, there's the no man. And we live on this long block. And we're looking up and down the block, like, where'd he go? Where'd he go? And Dad's looking all around to see. We never saw that man again. But I remember my dad, that was his good day to give us that lesson in the Bible that says we may have been entertaining angels unaware. And we live in a time right now where everyone's suspicious of everyone, even the more so. It's gotten even worse. And so to extend our love in this way, you know, takes faith in God and faith in what his word has said, because we can usually find a way out before we find a way in. And I find that a lot of times in God's word, those difficult places that seem so hard, we will find ourselves a way to disqualify, you know, doing that, because it's either, you know, we shouldn't do that, or you don't know who you're entertaining, you don't know who you're bringing. But God said that when you've done it to the least, and so what I love about it is sometimes this man didn't have on a coat. This man looked very poor. He looked very homeless. That came. Sometimes we will give to someone that has on a coat. and looks very affluent and looks like, you know, he's got something going on. He will be ready to give to them, but someone that would look dirty or look like they've been on the street, we're a little bit more afraid. But God, I like how he said that what we, according to man, would deem lowly or small or insignificant, God said, when you do it unto them, you've done it unto him. And so at this time of the year, you know, it's so fun to think about celebrating, and it's looking at the beautiful tables and getting ready in your mind. What am I going to, I've been on Pinterest just looking at different recipes. I get really excited. I usually don't do any of them, but I just like looking at them, imagining that I have made all this stuff. You know, I'm going to make that, and I'm going to, and what is that spice? I just like going through it, but by the time Thanksgiving comes, I haven't done any of it. It was just like a pretty picture or a pretty thought, okay? But some of you are very creative, and I know that you probably have done it and made something really wonderful. But at the end of the day, our question is, beyond our families, which is a wonderful thing, don't get me wrong, to bless our families, but beyond our families, who do we think about? Who do we think about blessing? Who do we think about serving? Because in all actuality, we are blessed. I was telling my husband the other day, I was looking at Israel on Israel News, and I was looking at these people that they just don't have any food, they don't have any water, they don't have any shelter. And in my mind, what I'd be thinking is, you know, how we can think our problems are so very, very big. And I know, you know, that when I say that, sometimes I'm not trying to devalue anybody's problems. But what I want us to think about is sometimes we rest on the problems instead of resting on the blessings. And so we rest on these problems, but if we would turn around and just begin to think, I have water, I have shelter, I have heat, I have something in my cabinet. And you know how we can say we have nothing but have five or six meals we can make. Nothing usually means I don't have what I like or what I want. But we have something in our cabinets. We have strength in our bodies. We have so many things. We have, our children came home from school this week. Come on, they went to and fro. And there's just so many blessings that we could think about that the enemy would have us to just rest on a problem and not think about, but I am so blessed. And we all have something within our baskets. And my mom would always say, there's something in your basket that you have to share. There's something God has given you that you can share. You can share a smile. You can share. I loved how Pastor David said, did you guys hear something he said this morning that was so important? And that's why I don't take it for granted. People say, you're up at midnight. Why are you up at midnight texting? Why? Because I don't take it for granted. I have walked through a text in my mind of somebody texting me an encouraging word. And they've been at work, and that they would stop on their job, stop what they were doing, and they would think about me, and they would send me a prayer or send me a word. I mean, of all the things they could be doing, they could be doing so many. They got family, they got children, they got so many, but they stopped and they thought about me. And I walked through that text. Like, I'll walk through a text like, wow, they're thinking about me. They're praying for me. I'm not the only thing in their life, you know, but they've thought, and I begin to thank God that God put me on their mind. You know, have you ever just thought about God put you on somebody else's mind? And usually when they write me, it's right on time. It's a place where the enemy is just kind of like beating me up or making me feel that, does anyone see that I'm going through? Or does anyone know? And it doesn't even be someone that I told anything to, you know? And God put me on their mind and in their obedience. I mean, they had to look up a scripture. You know, do you guys realize that? That they had to look up a scripture that would literally coincide with what I was going through. Have you ever got that scripture and you're like, oh my God, that, thank you, God. That was, they had to look up one, or they had to remember one, or, you know what I'm saying? They didn't just put any old thing down. They was led by it, and I'd be thinking, Them things seem small, but God, they're such a blessing. It's so much to be thought of, to be thought about in a world where there are people that are laying in some alley somewhere hoping somebody just thinks about me. Somebody just remembers me. Somebody just will call out my name to God. Somebody's just right now while we're sitting in this warm place. Somebody's in a cold alley someplace wishing, I wish somebody would just think about me. I wish somebody would just call out my name. And that happens to us like on a weekly basis. Well, for my life, it happens on like a weekly basis, almost a daily basis, that God would send a word of encouragement, send a word of love. And let me tell you this, because this one thing I know, whatever you sow, if you sow encouragement, you will get encouragement back. And that is the truth. And I thank God, though. I thank God for that kind of love that this morning as we're sitting here, let's just start at the little small things. Not the car, not the house, not the job, not the money. Just that somebody loves me enough that they would think about me to send me an encouraging word. We are blessed indeed. We are really blessed indeed. And God wants us to know that this morning. As we step into this time of celebrating Thanksgiving, may our Thanksgiving reach out to this broken and hurting world. What do we have that we can share? You know, I used to think like this, like having a dinner at my house, because I grew up with my mom, who was an amazing hostess, amazing. When I look back, I just always wanted to be that amazing hostess like my mom. My mom had the dishes, the table was set, the house was always decorated, the smells was always there. And it's not like we were very rich, but what we had, my mom was gonna make it beautiful, that when people came in, it was gonna be beautiful. And sometimes that can stop some of us because we think that's the real thing right there. But we don't need fancy linen. We don't need matching china. And we don't even need picture-worthy meals. What we really need is to show up with what we have and pull out a chair at our table for someone who really needs to be loved. Do you know that in this day and time, the table can be set just as beautiful as this? And we, in this time, can get all around the table with our phones and be on our phones and not even looking at one another, not even relating to one another, not even talking to one another. But what people really need, they need for us to show up and for us to really be present. Because you never know who's sitting at your table. Let's start with our family first. I want to start with our family first. We never know who's sitting around that table that, because we've been so busy and because we have gotten so many other things to put our attention into, that we forgot to put our attention into them, but they're sitting around the table and they're hurting. Mm-hmm. They're hurting. And all they need you to do is show up and say, how's things going? How are you? How are you really? They need us to show up, to be present, and to show love. God, in the Bible, you will see that there's so many stories about at the table with Jesus, and I just love the stories. Every time you see Jesus at a table, he was present. He was totally present for whoever it was. When he prepared a meal and he was with them, he was not doing anything else, but he was present. And he was there, and it was all about them. If you see him at a table, he was at the table, and it was all about them. And it was not just about the food on the table, but the food that he was bringing them from the Spirit. There was the food, and then there was the Spirit. Jesus, they made meals, and Jesus bought a meal. So every time he was there, there was a meal. And then Jesus, he didn't come empty-handed. He didn't come without anything. You know how people can come empty-handed to meals? Well, Jesus did not come empty to a meal. Understand that as we, as God's people, we shouldn't be coming empty-handed to any meal either. We have the Spirit of God, and we should come with Jesus' whole purpose. Understand, there was always a naturalness, but his whole goal was spiritual. And a lot of times we forget that's what we're called to. We're called to bring the spiritual meal, but a lot of times we forget that, and sometimes we're even embarrassed of it. Sometimes we're embarrassed of it, and Jesus said, if you're embarrassed of me, I'm going to be embarrassed of you when you stand before my Father. But a lot of times we don't know that we're better than the turkey. We got something better than turkey, better than sweet potato pie, better than Sam's pecan pie. We got something way, way better than all the stuff that we've got. A meal, you guys, that before we leave from that place and all our fun time and our fellowship time, who is going to tell somebody about Jesus? Who is going to share the love of Jesus? Who's going to share the meal of redemption to somebody this Thanksgiving? Or you're like, that's not what this is about. This is about Thanksgiving. I am not going to bring up Jesus. Because no, everywhere Jesus went, he brought up Jesus. Everywhere he went, he brought up the word. He did not leave from any place saying, you know what? This is not the occasion. I'm not going to talk about Jesus today. He went to a wedding. Yes, it was a wedding. Everywhere he went, though, at the end of that occasion, they knew something about heaven, and they knew something about him. And God wants us to know, as we're celebrating and we're getting ready for our celebrations, we need to pray within our spirits. Lord, yes, my family is going to be here. But God, what is it that you really want me to serve them? I got the turkey. I got the dressing. But God's son needs more than turkey and dressing. God's daughter needs more than apple pie. My neighbor needs more than the green bean casserole. After they eat it, what is it that's good for their soul? Because once that green bean casserole and that apple pie goes through, it goes through and it comes out and it's done. But once the word of God touches their life, encourages their soul, brings restoration, that's something that can last and last and last. Do we realize that we got the best thing? Do we realize that what we serve or what we give out or what we're giving to people is better than what any other thing that's on this earth? And Jesus wants us to know at the table is where we're going to serve it up. You're going to serve up a good meal, but you're going to have to think about that good meal before you serve it. Just like you thought about the turkey. Just like you're thinking about the dressing. Just like you're thinking about that. What are you thinking about spiritually? Are you beginning to pray right now for Uncle Joe that may be there? Are you beginning to pray right now for your son and daughter that you haven't seen in a couple of months or weeks or years? Are you thinking about them and saying, Lord, what is it that you want me to serve them? What word do they need of encouragement? What word they need from your word that is going to spur them on and help them to stand in you and help them to know you? Lord, I'm going to serve it up good. How am I going to serve it up? I'm not going to serve it up any old kind of way, right? Because you don't serve up the turkey in the dressing. You present it well. It's a great presentation. Our problem sometimes, it says a man is wise at winning souls. Our problem is sometimes is that we don't get the wisdom to win souls. We just come at them any old kind of way. But God, the same way that you do your turkey and your dressing, great presentation, we need to go before the Father and say, Lord, how can I present this in love? How can I present this in such a way that they would be excited to know you, excited to turn their lives towards you, excited to turn away from the things that has got them caught up? We'll see in one of my favorite stories of Jesus preparing a meal was he prepared a meal for his disciples and Peter. And this one always touches me the most because Peter had denied Jesus, and he was feeling so bad about being in denial. And they come to this bank, and on the bank they see someone cooking and fish, and Jesus tells them, come and have breakfast with me, okay? And they knew that, I'm a reader, so I just don't improvise it, but in John 21 and 12, it says this, Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. I love that. Come and have breakfast. But none of the disciples ventured or dared to ask him, who are you? Because they all well knew that it was the Lord. They knew that it was the Lord. In John 21 and 17, in the Message Bible, it said he's talking to Peter. And after he does this, now remember this, how Peter must have felt. Peter had denied the Lord. And why last night, this just, something went through my spirit. When Peter had denied the Lord, he went back to what he knew comfortable. Remember one of the things that Jesus had told Peter to do, come and follow me. And he said that you're fishing for fish, but I'm going to teach you how to be fishers of men. Yes. Peter's job was a fisherman. He fished for fish. But God said, put down your nets and come follow me, because I've got a new place to take you. I've got a new calling on your life. Yes, you've learned a lot about fishing because that you were a fisherman, but I'm going to use some of that very stuff you learned about fishing for the high call that I've called you to be fishers of men. So Peter was supposed to have this calling to go out and to win souls and to be a fisher of men. But after he denied God and Jesus died, he was disillusioned. He was sad. He was shameful. And what did he do? Instead of keeping on being a fisher of men, he went back to be a fisherman. Instead of doing the calling that God had called him to do, he was so disillusioned and shamed about denying God that he went back. Now, we went back. He went back and he began to fish again. So Jesus comes and he tells them, come and have breakfast with me. And he's not just saying, all you disciples, all you ones that, because all of them really ran, if you really look. Okay. He says, but he wanted Peter, especially Peter too. Make sure Peter's here. Don't you love that? I mean, something about that, I just fall in love with Jesus more and more. But here is this person that's feeling like, I'm out. I'm done. I've done the worst thing ever. I've denied the Lord. Surely he doesn't want to use me. Surely he doesn't want to have nothing to do with me. Surely he wants to pick some. Why did he pick me? Surely he wants somebody better. But he says, no, make sure Peter is here. Make sure Peter's here. I want Peter here. I want Peter to eat bread. Can you imagine what Peter's feeling like? He wants me. He still wants me. I mean, can you? I know in my life I've been there. I've done things where I thought, oh, God doesn't. Why would God use me? He wants me still to be a pastor. He still wants me to teach his people. I've been there. And he's saying, yes, I still want you. And that thing that comes over you, that like, what kind of love is this?
Yes, Lord.
A love that looks beyond all of our faults. A love that looks beyond all of our faults. And so here he comes and he calls Peter back. And after they have this dinner, so because I want y'all to know at the table, this is the things that Jesus does at the table, okay? Here it could be a whole other scenario. Jesus could say, how did you get through the wall, Jesus? It could be a whole, you know, like, how do you do that? What kind of body comes? All kind of conversations could have been going on. But here at the table, he is so loving on Peter that he takes Peter to the side, has this conversation with Peter. And in John 21 and 17, he keeps asking Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than? He keeps asking Peter. He pulls him aside. And in this one, he asked him for a third time. And it says, then he said it a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was upset that he asked him for the third time because he kept saying, I love you. Do you love me? He was upset because he said that for the third time. Do you love me? So he answered, Master, you know everything there is to know. You've got to know that I love you. And this sentence that I didn't look at any as last night, it was so redemptive, restorative, bringing Peter back to the position that Peter felt, his rightful position, that Peter felt like he no longer belonged there. He tells Peter to do the most important thing to the heart of God. He says, feed my sheep. You guys don't get that, but this man that felt like he was a nothing and a nobody and was so shameful, and what could I be used for? God gives him the biggest use of all. He says, go feed my sheep. He says, I know that the enemy meant to make you feel like nothing. I know the enemy makes you feel like you couldn't do it anymore. But I am telling you, he says, you know that I love you. He said, do you love me more than these? And Peter says, you know that I love you. Then he asks him a third time, and then he says, feed my sheep. Can you imagine what he's saying is, go do what I've called you to do. Go do what I called you out for in the first place. Go stand in your position. Get back in place. I didn't take you out of place. Get back in place. I didn't say you weren't a leader. Get back in place. Go feed my sheep. You know, like if I thought to myself, you know, like if you leave your kids home to babysit, and when you get home and everything's all a wreck and the house is a wreck and one of the kids is missing, you're never going to use that kid again. You're like, you ain't babysitting no more. You're not doing that anymore, because irresponsibility is going to make you afraid to use them. Okay, but look at our Jesus. Look what he did. He was like, you know what? You denied me. You did not feed my sheep. Does that even make sense? It does. In our mind, it was like, why would you use him? Look what he's done. He's denied you, and you're saying, feed my sheep. But his love was, I'm going to bring you up.
Yeah.
See, Jesus is about building us up, not about tearing us down. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I mean, to me, it's so wonderful that no matter where we're at this morning, you guys, we are invited at this beautiful table. I don't care what you did last night. I don't even care what you did this morning. God is still saying, come to the table. Come to my table. Come sit down with me. Come eat with me. Come dine with me. You're never too dirty that he can't make you clean. Those are the conversations that he has at the table. At the table, he's not. Have you ever been at the table and everybody's telling you what you did wrong and how no good you was, and you just hate going to the table? You know, I don't care what kind of table, the boss table, whatever, and you're fired, whatever. But not at the Father's table. Not at the Father's table. At the Father's table, there's always love. There's always restoration. There's always a building up. There's always, you're my son. You're my daughter. There's always a cleaning you off. Even if you smell like poop, it's always. He will pick you up when everybody's got their nose going like this. He will pick you up and clean you. I know it for a fact. I'm a witness because he's done it in my life. I'm not just telling you what Peter knows. I'm telling you what Pastor Linda knows, because he's done it in my life. You know, when we look, there's another time that Zacchaeus is up high in the tree and he wants to see Jesus. And so he climbs up in a tree. And what I love about it is he didn't just say, Zacchaeus, come down, shake his hand, glad to meet you. But he says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. I'm coming to have a meal with you today. I'm coming to sit down and talk with you. Jesus was so relational, you guys. And what the enemy wants us to do is become, in this world where everything takes us away from being, you know, I was just thinking the other day when I was texting somebody, I was like, you know what? I don't remember the last time I picked up my phone and called them, where it was like voice to voice. Just a little text. If we're not careful in this world, we're going to lose a lot of relationship skills. It's going to be, you know, we've been in houses where the husband's downstairs and the wife's upstairs and they're just texting each other. And I'm like, you know what? This is getting really crazy that we don't even know the voice of each other anymore, because now we just have all these apparatuses that keep us from having a relationship, a real relationship. But Jesus was like, Jesus was God himself. And he was like, I'm coming to your house today. Can you just imagine that? I'm coming to your house today. If Jesus saw the power in sharing a meal, maybe we should too. Every meal that Jesus was at, there was a powerful happening that happened. There was transformation that would happen at those meals. And if he saw the power of sharing a meal, maybe we should too. Perhaps before the call to go on a mission trip or to a faraway land, there's a call to show up at our own kitchen and dining room tables and offer hospitality to those that God has placed right here. Right here where we are. You know, we live in a time where God is blessed with so many beautiful houses. And we hear people saying, I got a new house. I got a new house. I got a new crib. I got a new apartment. I got a new. But everything God gives us is to be shared.
Yes, yes, yes.
But we call it my space.
Come on, preach.
My sanctuary. I be dealing with people all day long. I be dealing with them church people all day long. Hey, this is my sanctuary. This is my space. This is me and Apostle's place. If we're not careful, what the world needs that's supposed to come from his hands and his feet, we will hold it to ourselves and we won't give it out. But we see that Jesus was not like that. I mean, if anybody didn't have a space, it was Jesus. Jesus didn't have, it says, foxes has holes. Birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay. He's just walking to and, I mean, but we have, and everywhere he walked, there's throngs of people, and there's people just there, you know, waiting to touch him, waiting for a blessing, waiting for a word, and he was available. And we sing that song, Lord, I'm available to you. My will I give to you. Do what you want to. How about my house, Lord? How about my pocketbook? How about my car? How about that steak that I wanted to eat tonight? How about if you ask me for those things, am I willing to, you know, we're like little children. Mine, 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 that's mine. God says it all belongs to him. And it's all given to us so that we can be available when he calls on it to be able to use it to extend his love out to people. In Matthew 9:9-13, it says, passing along, Jesus saw a man at his work collecting taxes. His name was Matthew. Jesus said, come along with me. Matthew stood up and followed him. Later when Jesus was eating, and here we go, he's sitting at a table. Later when Jesus was eating supper at Matthew's house with his close followers, a lot of disreputable characters came and joined him. When the Pharisees saw him keeping this kind of company, they had a fit and written to Jesus' followers, what kind of example is this from your teacher acting cozy with crooks and riffraff? Jesus overhearing shot back, who needs a doctor? The healthy or the sick? Go figure out what this scripture means. I'm after mercy, not religion. I'm here to invite outsiders, not coddle insiders. Now that right there really got me. I'm here to invite outsiders, not coddle insiders. What Jesus is saying, there's a purpose. We get so mixed up. We're in the world, but not of the world. But we get so mixed up in there that we become of the world. When God said, we're in the world, but not of the world. We're in the world to do what God wants. We're kingdom representatives aiming at God's way of doing things and God's purpose for doing things. But we forget sometimes that's why we're here. And all of a sudden, we become just like the world. Our purpose driven life is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to every man, woman, and boy, girl that we are in contact with. Did y'all hear what I said? Everybody that we are in contact with should know about Jesus from our mouth. We go too far both ways. A lot of people, I don't have to say anything. Just let my life speak. Because some of us are too scared to speak, okay? Some of us said, I'll speak, and it doesn't matter about my life, what I say. But you better marry both of them. You better speak, and you better live in front of people. Speak and live. That everywhere we go, you guys... People, sometimes, you know, I get on myself if I've been in the store and I go to the store and I know this person. Hey, Sally. Hi. Hey. Okay, for real one. Hey, Adrian. She's beautiful. I love her so much. She's at the thrift store. I love her so much. Okay, but it's always, hey, Adrian. Girls, what'd you say? There's a sweater over there. You like it? Okay, yeah. What? Okay. In and out. I love her. Bring her some coffee. Bring her some. And then God told her, you did all that. You ain't asked her, not told her anything about Jesus. You've been knowing her for 2 years. I said, but I bought her coffee. She must know him. See that? Rationale? God is saying that's wrong rationale. We need to open our mouths and we need to tell them about Jesus. Tell them. And I remember the first day we stood in the aisle talking about Jesus. All this time she's going through all this stuff that she was going through, which if I'd have told her about Jesus, I could have gave her the answer, okay? But as we're standing there and we're talking about, She's so happy to hear about Jesus, so happy to hear about, you know, the church and going to church. And I'm thinking to myself, this is with a purpose. See, sometimes we get mixed up on the assignment where we're assigned, our duty station. We get mixed up that the duty station is the purpose. The duty station is where you perform the duty. It's not the purpose, okay? So remember, if your duty station is the base, okay, that's where you evangelize. The duty station is the restaurant, that's where you evangelize. The duty station is the barbershop, that's where you evangelize. The duty station is where we get mixed all up. And then we get so consumed with the duty station and what's going on in the duty station and the people in the duty station and how I want to be like the people in the duty station. They know nothing about Jesus. And there's one day we're going to stand before the Lord and he's going to show us all these people, this whole duty station. We've been from duty station to duty station to duty station, just like the military. And he's going to say, you were there. Who did you tell about Jesus? I gave you a whole platform right there. Who did you tell about Jesus? Over there, you went there every week. Who did you tell about Jesus? She lived right next door to you. Did you tell her about Jesus? At the table should be conversations that we're not ashamed to lift up the name of Jesus. And we're making it a point to lift up the name. You say, oh, they don't want to hear that. Oh, they won't want me there. Oh, if they don't want you there, they didn't bring you there in the first place. Wherever you're at, God assigned you. And he assigned you for his purposes, his kingdom purposes. Jesus saw the power in sharing a meal. When we see in this one about Matthew, I love it, is what, even though they were saying that you're eating with the sinners, what kind of master, what kind of teacher you got that's sitting eating with the sinners? What Jesus was trying to show them in sitting with them was, I include everybody. Everybody's included, regardless of their past behavior, their today behavior. Jesus is still saying, I want you to come. I want you. The whole world may be talking about you. The whole world may have counted you out, but I want you. I love the scriptures about the not-sos. He calls the not-sos, the people that were not so noble, not so... I love that I'm part of the not-sos, okay? Some of us want to be so, but God said, I call the not-sos. The people that everybody's counted out, everybody thinks the least, everybody thinks how in the world would Jesus even, God said, that's the one I want. That's the one I'm calling. That's the one I want to bring. Calls the not-so. You guys, let's be careful about trying to be so-so in this world, because God is calling the not-sos. And sometimes we can get so-so that we won't even try to touch the not-sos. We'll snub up our nose after it's God who put us in a so-so place. All of a sudden, we get so-so that we can't even lift up the name of the one who made us so-so. God wants us to be like him. He wants us to come and sit and partake of his life. There's a wonderful story in the Bible, and I'm almost done. The story that they invite everyone. Jesus sends out, God sends out this invitation. Come to the banquet. Table is spread. Beautiful table prepared for you. And what happens in that story? Nobody comes. The ones that he invited, they didn't come. But can you just imagine this? Jesus is inviting them to the table, but they've got so many plans. I'm busy. I got this to do. I got to go bury my father. I got this, that. So many plans when the King of Kings has. I want y'all to remember that right now this morning, you're sitting at the table. The Lord invited us this morning to the table, and all of us has come to the table, but we all had to make a choice, because we could have said in our mind, not today, I got to wash my car, not today, I got to take my family to the park, not today, but we said, I'm coming to the table. And the Lord said, he invites all these people that he thought would come. You know why he thought they would come? Because they knew him. And that there was blessings in their life that they, and they didn't even come. And Jesus said, that's okay. That's all right. You know how sad we get when people don't show up to our parties and stuff. Man, they didn't even come. They must not like me. But I love Jesus. It's, you know, he said, that's okay. It's okay. Go to the hedges and the highways. Go. Go and compel them. Look under the rock. Look behind the tree. Look in the homeless park. Go. Go and compel. They're going to come. They're going to come. Go. And they come. And it's another table where, as can you imagine if you're homeless? Can you imagine if you're the one that everybody's talking about and all of a sudden people are running up to you and saying there's a feast in the castle and the table is spread and the king wants you to come. The king wants you to come. And you're like, me? I don't even have no clothes. What? I'm going to go like this? I stink. The king wants you to. Can you imagine the uplift of that? The leveling up in your spirit, that is. It's like he wants. And then when you really, really get there, he's got something to put on your feet. And he's got something to put on over the clothes. And he sits you down. And really, you can eat. And you're probably sitting there. You know, my son, Bubba, he was so funny because a lady in our church, she just makes these beautiful tables with all these clothy napkins. A long time, beautiful clothy napkins. And Bubba was used to my paper plates and my paper napkins. And Bubba was sitting there. And I was wondering what was wrong with Bubba. And she asked her, too. She said, why aren't you using a napkin? He said, I'm not going to use these pretty napkins. He said, I'm going to get them dirty. Well, that was the whole point. The whole thing is that how he felt like, wait, this is too much. This is more than I'm used to. That's how Jesus treats us. He's going to give you more than you were used to. More than you think that you even deserve. At his table. At his table, there's more than what you even deserve. This is, we can all find strengthened connections and a sense of belonging, kingdom purpose at his table. And I want to tell you guys something. Right now we're at his table. But there has been something in my life, and even my daughter has taught me a little bit of this. I would go to different events, and I was so shy, and I was so, who am I to be here? Okay? And they would, events where I could meet people that, you know, could, I remember just different pastors' events when we go to Casey Treats and things, and I'd go into the pastor's luncheon, and what God got, there was all these pastors' wives, but me, I would kind of like sit, you know, like in my little own little corner, my own little chair. And Wendy would say, I brought you in here so that you can make connections, so you can meet other pastors' wives. She's telling all of us pastors' wives that, but not me. I was like, if they come over here, I'll talk to them, but I'm not going to, you know. And so, lo and behold, because I didn't do that, I didn't meet, but I would sit around and I would watch all these other pastors' wives. They'd go, hey, hi. And I would just sit there and I would just be like, they're not coming over to me. And then I would just walk out and I would go. That was it. And sometimes in my heart, I would feel like, well, they should have came over here and talked to me, you know, just because I was too scary to go talk to them. Now, you say, what are you saying that all for? Because at the Father's table, it is for us to make connections. And sometimes we'll come into this, the Father's table right here, and we won't make any connections. We'll let our insecurities, we'll let all these things stop us. And I would be the first one out the door at the pastor's wife's things. I would be gone back into the sanctuary. I wasn't doing any of that connecting thing. Not because I didn't want connections. I was just afraid to interact with people. I want to say this, the Father's house, is about us making connections. Juan got a testimony that you need to hear that you may not know until you get connected with him. you might be walking around thinking, oh man, I'm just the most horrible person in the world. I did this or that. And Juan be like, let me tell you what. And you hear, then somebody else. But see, the enemy does not want us to be connected. Right. And what he will do is make us insecure. And we come in and we be more lonelier at the Father's table than we were at the world's table. And sometimes we'll say that. I have more friends outside than I have in here. But the thing is that connected, he's drawing us to make the connections, y'all. That was something side, I don't know why, but it was something side. God said, this is a place to make those connections, to find out the why and the what and the who that labors among you, that walks among you. What do they have that helps to inspire you, that helps you to move on, that gives you a testimony? If they can do it, I can do it. But if we don't do that, we could be right in here and be very, very lonely. So at his table, he wants us to have a sense of belonging, you guys. He wants us to know that the kingdom purpose is to share what he has given us with one another so that we can all grow. Remember, he has given gifts to all of us. And those gifts are to do what? To edify the whole church. That's at the table of the Lord. I'm going to end with this scripture, these last two, and I love it. In Revelations 3:20, Jesus says this, look at me. I stand at the door. I knock. If you hear me, call and open the door. I'll come right in and sit down to supper with you. Now, look at, there's something about eating that meal. Y'all don't get it, because he could say, behold, I come at the door and knock. Open the door and I'll come in and I'll play cards with you. Open the door and I'll come in and I'll watch TV with you. Open the door. But what did he say? I'll come and sit down to have supper with you. Because supper is all about eating. And remember I said, you bring something, he brings something. You bring the natural, he brings the spiritual. Sit down and let's eat. There's something about when you're eating, you know, with people, there's just that camaraderie of good food. It's, you know, that place of eating together. When we look at the book of Acts, it starts out with them all together eating and breaking bread together. See, we've gotten away from eating together, right? We're too busy to do all that. We're too busy to eat together. I mean, I'm just serious. The Lord just showed me I'd rather bring you a plate than sit down around the table. Come on. God is like, no, get back to eating together. To sit, start with your own family, eating together. We ate around the table. My dad didn't let us get by with it for nothing. No matter what came up, we're sitting around that table. So if we wanted to do something, because we were sitting around that table. You were sitting. You had to answer those questions. What did you do at school today? How are you doing? How are you? I'm fine. How are you doing? Daddy was, and then the Bible scripture and Bible studies that he made Pastor David come over. Pastor David didn't get to eat that food, but he had to come eat the spiritual food. That was the only way he got to go out with me. Sit around, and it was at the table. I remember him sitting at the table, and I was thinking, oh, my God, he's going to ask him some question, and he's not going to know the answer. He's not going to let me go out with him. But, you know, Pastor David, he can do well in tight situations. But I thank God for the table at our house. I thank God for the table at our house. It was until I left the house, we was around that table. So I thank God for that. And I tell you and admonish you to think about that. Table time. We all need table time fellowship. Table time, because it's something, you know, when you're eating some good food, you know, around the table, that's a good time. You don't really be mad if the steak is good and the greens is good. You know, you can talk, okay? Talk around the table. Make sure that there's table time. And he says, I'll come in and I'll sit down. So he says, open the door, let me in, and I'll come in and I'll sit down. And what that can be, you know, when we're reading our word, sometimes we're reading our word, and we're like, I don't understand it. This makes no sense. I don't get. And God says, what he's doing is, you're trying to make sense. You're trying to get it. But let me in. Let me in. And I'll come in and I'll sit down and I'll dine with you. And I'll tell you what those greens are made of. And I'll tell you what that chicken got gravy on. I'll tell you all about it. You will understand. But you got to let me in. Sometimes we're trying to do it all by ourselves. But God says, let me in. Our last scripture is Revelations 22 and 17. You guys hear this. I need y'all to hear this because this instructs us very well. It says, the Holy Spirit, sometimes we stop right there. But it says, the Holy Spirit and the bride, the church, the true Christians say, come. Now, I don't know if y'all getting that because most of us say, the Holy Spirit says, come. The Holy Spirit says, come. Come, whomsoever will, come. But what did it say? It's not just for the Holy Spirit to say, come in me. It's got to say, come through me, okay? So it's saying the Holy Spirit and the bride, the church, the true Christians are not undercover agents. True Christians are not in disguise. True Christians aren't, you know, like camouflage where you don't know that they're Christians. There's too many Christians that are camouflage. Here it's saying you're not in camouflage. It says not just the Holy Spirit says come, but the true Christians say come. Everywhere we go, the true Christians are saying come. Why do you think that the Lord's still not here yet? He's waiting for us to say, come. Come to somebody. Come. Come. And let him who is listening, everybody under the sound of my voice right now, you've heard this. He admonishes you to say, come. Come. And let everyone come who is thirsty, who is painfully conscious of his need, of those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. And whoever earnestly desires to do it, let him come. Take, appropriate, and drink the water of life without cost. What he's telling us is we've tasted of the waters. We've drank the living waters. We've ate of the living bread. We know what God can do. God said, now it's up to us to tell people, come. Come. Come to the lady at the grocery store. Come to the lady that's sitting by you in the cubicle at work. Come to the neighbor next door. Come. God is saying, it's time for us to say, come. Some of us will say, come and go with me to my Father's house. Some. Okay? But God really wants us to say, because there can be a motive about that. Do you know, understand that? Some people can say, come and go to me with my, and I know this motive because when we was in teenagers, we was always given our class for a prize for how many people we brought to church. So my whole thing was getting a whole bunch of people to come to church. Okay, it wasn't about, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna get the prize. But the thing was, the motive wasn't about you need Jesus Christ. You need the Lord that has saved me. You need the Lord that has healed me. What? That wasn't my motive. The thing is God is saying, we're saying come so that they can know the one who refreshes, the one who supports, and the one who will strengthen their life. And that we are so concerned about their life. And I know I can't support, strengthen, or any of that in me. The only person that can do that is Jesus. I am so concerned about their lives being strengthened and supported that I need them to know about God. There's an urgency. You guys, today, in this time, there should be an urgency to tell people about Jesus. If you read Matthew 24, as Pastor David was saying, almost everything that the Lord says in the last days, these things will happen. Almost everything is happening. Almost everything, if you look down there, is happening. There's so many things happening nowadays, you guys. If you would just really realize that, you would be like, oh my God. And God already said, there was just telling us the other day about a lady doesn't even have to go in there and pay for her groceries or nothing. They're already scanning the palm of her hand. You guys, these things are in the world today, right now, that God talked about all the way back then. It's what God is real. His word is real. What he say is happening is real. Wars, rumors of wars, all that is happening. And the urgency now is, you know, we're some of us are homesteading. We got our dreams, we got our visions, we got our goals. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be that, and I'm going to be this big thing, and I'm going to do this, and we're planted. Which, remember, your dreams, visions, and goals is not just about you. That's the problem. Most of us, it's about us, me being validated, me being somebody. When your dream, vision, and goal is about where God has planted you, he gave you a dream so that you would be planted where he needs you to be planted, so that you can win people and tell people about Christ. And if we don't get that part, we're going to be homesteading and planting our tent here when it's time for Jesus to go. Instead of having a tent that we could pick up and just say, woo, I'm out of here. We done put stakes in the ground of the earth. And now this is where I want to stay so I can feel important, so I can feel validated. Your validation comes from the Lord. At the table, you guys. Today, as we end, Jesus is saying, come. Come. At this table, there is no discrimination. It doesn't matter your color. It doesn't matter your status. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your age. Oh my God, it doesn't matter your age. Whomsoever, from the little one, suffer the little children to come unto me, to the oldest one. Do you guys understand this? It's only in the world that when we get old, we get cast away. Not in God. He said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your old men. Your old men shall see visions. Your old women shall see visions. Your young men. He on all. There's no, everybody, because I'm retired. There's no retirement in God. There's no retirement in God. We're going to work till we see him. Till we see his face, we are still usable, and God wants to use us, and the enemy wants to put us back. Oh, I'm 60, I'm 70, there's nothing else I can. There's so much you can do. That you got to 70, that you got to 80, that makes you usable, that makes you a wise person that can be able to impart to others. Don't you dare let age start making you feel like, I can't do this. I looked at this woman 100 years old other night on Facebook. That woman looked good, and she was praising her. I said, that's right there. That's where I want to be, right there. If I'm going to live to be 100, I don't want to live to be 100 feeling like I'm dead. If I'm supposed to live 100, I want to be alive, and I want to be telling somebody about the goodness of God. I want to be telling somebody that Jesus saves to the utmost. And when they ask me, how'd you get here? I want to say, because of Jesus. Yes. At the table, you guys. There's at the tables the poor, the rich. Come on. All together at the table. Every nation, every tongue is at the table. Aren't you glad that he includes us all? No matter what you think, the person in prison is included at the table.
Thank you, God. Amen.
Think about that. Yes. The person you hate is included at the table. God said, I'm not willing for anyone to perish. I'm not willing for anyone to perish. I've done everything possible that you can be saved, no matter who you are. So let's stand, you guys. When we end, after we pray, I want to give you guys some instruction. What we've done is we've tried to make a We tried to make a little time of fellowship. What time is it? Yeah, okay. I'm almost there. Okay. A time of fellowship. So you guys don't run out of here. act like I'm still preaching, because usually I go to 12:30, so you got 30 minutes to fellowship, okay? So let's get and we're, the little table is for the kids. That's what's going to be here, for them to sit down, you know? Okay, but the rest of us, gather around somebody. Tell them why you thank God for them. Tell them what they've done in your life, okay? Let's do that. Tell somebody what. Now, don't go to that person that you always go with, okay? Let's go with somebody else. Somebody, I don't know them. Well, do you know that they come at least one Sunday out of a month? Thank God. I thank God for seeing you here. I thank God that you're pushing through and press. But let's thank God, or give them a testimony of what God has done for you this year. There's, you know, how he's blessed you this year. Whichever way makes you feel comfortable about thanking God with that person, let's do that. We have chili. We have breads. We have little, we made them little cups so they won't have to, you don't have to sit for very long. If you don't want to. Okay, but let's eat the chili and the bread. We thank God for our hospitality team that has, you know, just made sure everything is good for us today. And let's just spend a few minutes. Can we just spend a few minutes saying, I'm so thankful to belong to the body of Christ. And I'm so, girl, I got you. I got your back, okay? I'm so glad that we're the body of Christ. You guys, look at what God has done within this past almost year. Look around y'all.
Thank you, God.
Just, I mean, beautiful people that I'm just like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Thank you. Come on. I don't know about trouble. I just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Y'all don't know, some people I've been just like praying for. Like we see them come in and we just like, okay. We don't want to bum rush her and say, you're going to be here. No, but we're like, oh, God, let them come. Let them come. Look at Malcolm. Look at Malcolm, all the way back. Brother said he wanted to stay in California, but Jesus said, oh, Carver. Brother, back. Look at that. Look at Phil and Donnie. Who'd have thought it? Oh, I'm telling you guys, I'm so thankful. So you just wonder, how did this happen? Like, we was talking the other night about Juan, and we were like, babe, just think, who'd have thought it? Juan just riding back and forth in front of the church, sometimes squealing in front of the church. Juan coming in and just, oh, so many attitudes and so much, but oh, so every time I would tell him something, sometimes I'd be scared he's going to cuss me out. But, oh, my God, look, who'd have thought it? He calls me mom, and I call him son, and I just remember, oh, who'd have thought it? How long we prayed, how long we asked God, who'd have thought that was going to happen? Who'd have thought me and Donita, we just meet at house, what's it called? Garage of Blessings. We're just meeting and just excited about finding something that I can outreach and do. But this friendship turns into, so she hadn't been to church in a long time. I remember sitting there and I'm thinking, you know, even when I talked to her, it just seemed like, well, I don't think she's going to come to our church. Look at that. Who'd have thought it? Who'd have thought, Sterling? Just looking at you coming in every Sunday, even the first Sunday, and you've been here. Look what God is doing. He's growing our body. He's growing our body. Oh, my God. Look at you, Joel. I'm still waiting for Joel. I'm waiting for something from Joel. My verse over you, and my eyes shall see it in the land of the living. I'm waiting for it. In the name of Jesus. Look at these people. Look at Malika, Did I say her name right? Because he said, okay, Malika and Maya. Watching Maya and the Holy Spirit all over her, and she surrendered. We've seen some wonderful things in this place, you guys. I'm so excited. We have so much to be thankful for. I don't know who or what your name is in the back. Can you just say it, sweetie? Aiden. Is it Aiden? Okay. And Ellie. We don't know how or why, but we know God. Shoot, we're going to go back thanking God for Minister Irene. Who'd have thought it? She always makes me laugh. Okay, we're so glad you're here. And we hope that you are blessed today. And hope you feel the love today. And all these teenagers and my grandson standing here, still standing here. Look at you guys. Graduated. He don't have to be here. He could be some. And then look up on the front row. We got a reverend in the house. We got two reverends in the house. I'm telling y'all, let's not take this stuff for granted. Who'd have thought, even when they came in and they were sitting over there, who'd have thought? Thank you, Jesus. And you guys, look who's standing on the front row, been gone a little bit. He's trying not to. He knows I'm looking at him. Amari's in the house. Oh, all these big grown kids doing big grown things. But just thanking God that they still have that honor for their parents. We thank God. There's just so much when you look around we got to be thankful for. So I'm going to be quiet right now and pray so that we get what's going to happen is they're going to move that back row. There's going to be two tables with the chicken and the bread, the chili and the bread. And you guys will be able to line up and get your chili and your bread and then sit down. The smaller kids, let's put them up here to make sure the chili doesn't fall. Please don't get by Pastor Linda because I have a tendency to knock things out of people's hands. So we're going to make sure it don't happen today. Okay. But let's eat our chili. Have a little time. Guys, just sit in a little fellowship for a few minutes and let's let the Lord bless us. If you want to, you can pray for the person that you're sitting with. Okay. So Lord, we just thank you. God, we thank you for how you showed us what we could do at the table, God. God, that you thought it was so important to sit down and fellowship and talk and love on and bring restoration to those that you entertain, God. God, we thank you right now, God, that we are not going to fall into the way of this world, that we are too busy, too encumbered with the cares of this world, that we cannot have fellowship one with the other and one with those that you are sending us to in the world. God, we thank you right now for those that have made, for Sister Diane that made the chili. We thank you, God, for her and all the ladies that made the bread. We thank you for servant's heart in this place, God. And God, we just thank you for this coming up week, God. Oh, God, I just pray that it houses, there's going to be surprises. There's going to be a knowing that God, you have done something in those homes, oh God. I just believe it. There's going to be testimonies, God, of the love that's shared and the love that's received. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.